for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Sunday evening service of July the 2nd, 1989. Tape number 4 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the teacher for the evening.
Brother Whit, will you come up here and help me, please? Tommy, come. We're going to pray for you. Brother Whit and I are going to pray for you before you minister.
Praise the Lord, I receive.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, we lay hands on Tommy tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We impart the fire and the anointing of the Holy
Ghost. Yes, Lord Jesus.
And fill him that the word of the Lord shall come forth.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord.
Penetrate the scripture that marrow of bones.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We impart it into him by the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you again tonight for your word. Again, your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. And you said the very entrance of your word gives light. So tonight we expect light to come as we study the scriptures, Lord. And you are the light. And Lord, we submit to the teacher tonight, the Holy Ghost. Again, we're nothing in ourselves. We submit to you. We humble ourselves before you. And we walk, Lord, before you in holiness and righteousness in the name of Jesus. And Father, tonight we ask the Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hope you can see the chart. Some probably can in the back. But we want to teach a few things today, what God's saying to us. Whoop, got it upside down. Praise the Lord. How many believe that God gives us promises? Every promise in the book is mine. How about you? The scripture said, the song we sing, standing on the promises that cannot fail. And God is a promising God. God gave me this word years ago, and I haven't taught it to just recently. But how many has received promises from God tonight? How many is walking in those promises? How many hadn't come into some of them yet? Most of us. Praise the Lord. Now, we thank God for promises, don't we? But God wants us to come to a place where we not only receive the promises, but we walk in what God has said to us. But how many know there's a warfare involved once God promises you things? Once God gives you a promise, we know that there comes a problem. There is a problem put in your way and my way. I call it the fog of confusion. And how many know when you get in that fog of confusion, you can't see very far? You can't see very far, so sometimes when you're in that situation, you got to come back and get a hold of that promise again. And God teaches us principles in order to come through the problems and into the provision of that which He's told us in the promise. Now, here in the promise, we pick it up in our spirit, don't we? Amen? And of course, here, the problems in the soul. How many would agree to that? It's in your mind, your will, your emotion, and your desire. And of course, the body, God wants us to walk it out in shoe leather. He wants us to come into that provision of what He's told us. Now, we're shouting in the promise. And we're shouting in the provision. But we don't do too much shouting here in the problem sometimes, do we? Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what we need. We need principles. We need faith and patience in this area. Can you say amen? Now, most of us tonight have a wilderness complex. How many believe that's true? We want to stay here. We want to stay in the problem. And the reason we do sometimes is because we've seen people come into provision and it's destroyed them. Now, Jesus gave the prodigal son his inheritance. How many's ever read that? How many know what led him to the pig pen? He wasn't ready for it at that particular time. Let me give you a scripture. Look in Proverbs. We'll go in the Word here. In a minute. Proverbs 20, look at a scripture with me and think about that prodigal. How many know there were actually two prodigals? Did you know there were two prodigals? There was one that strayed and one that stayed. Hallelujah. And the one that stayed is a type of the old order. He doesn't want to change. And they believe you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Prophecy said that tonight. You can't put a new garment on an old piece of garment. You got a mixture. And we cannot, cover things up in this hour, can we? Can we? No. You got to put new wine in new bottles. And so to have new wine, what you got to have? You got to have a new wineskin, don't you? And he prepared 12 disciples. And at Pentecost, he filled them with new wine with the others, which all counted 120. Now look here at verse 21 of chapter 20 of Proverbs. It said, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning. That's what happened to the prodigal son, wasn't it? But the end thereof shall not be blessed. It led him to the pig pen, but of course God restored him and brought him back to full sonship. Thank God for that. How many know we've all failed somewhere? It said he gave them their request, but he sent leanness where? Into their soul. How many know the Lord may come and bail you out of this problem sometime? But if he bails you out, you're going to face it down the road, aren't you? Come on, somebody say amen. And we've all cried out in the problem, why me, Lord? I mean, have you ever heard that song, why me, Lord? I hate it. I don't like it. Hallelujah. Now, the promise comes to Israel in Egypt, in bondage. Here comes the promise to Moses. I want to give you and the people a land that flows with milk and honey. But even when you come to the land, let me know there's some giants there. Amen? But the promise comes way down in Egypt, down in Egypt. And God said, I want to give you the principles at Mount Sinai. That's where he gave the law. And of course, the problem was in the wilderness. How long? 40 years. I mean, Jesus was there how long? 40 days. We've got to make a choice, don't we? Huh? Look in Deuteronomy 2 a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 2. I'm going to teach tonight. I'm not going to preach. I'm teaching. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd rather teach than preach anyway. We got preachers, we got teachers. We need them both, don't we? Deuteronomy 2, verse 1. It says here, praise the Lord. In verse 3, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. I wonder if the Lord sang that to us tonight. You've been in that problem too long. It's time to come on and get through that situation and come on, go another direction. Hallelujah. Now, as we mature in God, how many know there's some problems don't even bother you? Hallelujah. There's some problems you just zip right through. But there's other problems that come and knock you up against the wall. Problems are problems. They're real. Now, we don't know our heart. Where's the heart revealed? It's revealed right in the problem, isn't it? Now, look in Psalms 55. Praise the Lord. And the Lord never told us we wouldn't have problems. But we're not to major on the problems. Psalms 55. Now, let me show you something here. Hallelujah. How many know that your emotions will militate against you right here in the problem? Now, in verse 22, let's look at a promise here in chapter 55 of Psalms. This is one of my favorite Psalms. I love it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. That's what the prophecy was about tonight, the burden of the Lord. And he shall sustain thee. He shall never, everybody say never.
Never.
He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But how many get moved sometimes? We get moved in the problem, in the situation we're in sometimes, don't we? Because we get our eyes on the problem. And yet God gives the promise here, if we cast our burden upon him, that he will suffer the righteous not to be moved. Now, go back to verse 2. David said, attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Don't we all do that? Now, here's why David's crying out in verse 3. Look at it now. Because of the voice of the enemy. How many know he's got a voice tonight? And that voice comes right here. And because of the oppression of the wicked, for they do something. They cast iniquity upon me. In wrath they hate me, my heart. Notice how it affected this man. His sore pain within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. fearfulness. You're talking about a nervous breakdown. Here it is. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Have you ever been there? Now, the greater promise you get from God, the greater problem you will go through. But thank God there's more in the provision as well. And that's why we're never to count lightly anybody walking through trouble. Because sometimes, it's real. You know, we want to Paul the apostle experience, but how many know that Paul, Jesus said, I'm going to show that man how he'll suffer for my name's sake. Amen. And yet out here, he wrote about 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now, he says here in verse 6. Now, here's our reasoning when we're in the problem. Again, remember what I said. Our emotions will militate against us when we're in a problem. Verse 6. And he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. You ever wish that? Hallelujah. I bet Brother Miller wish sometime he could fly away. Well, how many know we sing it about every Sunday? Well, we don't. Now, some of them do. I'm going to fly away. Huh. You know why we sing it? They sing it because there's no rest. There's no peace. There's no contentment. We're in a problem. We want to get out of the mess. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to get out of the mess. We're going to come through the mess.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. By the grace of God and the power of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've had the Word of God for years. And God's building this Word into our hearts if we'll receive it. And we're facing the great tribulation, whether we want to or not, if we're living. But thank God on the other side, let me know there's a great provision. There's a 1,000-year reign with Christ to those that qualify. Come on, help me now. And so he says here, hallelujah, I would be like the dove. I would fly away and I would be at rest. You see, while we're in the problem, many times we know we don't have rest. We don't have peace and contentment. Unless we learn to come into that in God. Now, in verse 8, here's the second thing. He said, I would hasten my escape. Verse 7. Verse 7. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I'd get off from everybody. I'd get on the back 40, wherever. Verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And then he said in verse 9. Now, look at verse 9. This is important that we see this verse. He said, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife where? Jesus said, we're like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. And all of a sudden, David's getting a revelation of himself right in the problem. You can't see yourself, first of all, till you see Jesus. Amen? And secondly, when you get in situations that you don't understand, all of a sudden, you begin to get a revelation of yourself. What's in you? Can you say amen? And so David is seeing violence and strife. Verse 10. Day and night, they go about it. I want you to notice that phrase, they go about it. Upon the walls thereof, mischief also, and what else? Sorrow in the midst of it, in the midst of the city, wickedness. In the midst thereof, deceit, guile, depart not from her street. So he began to see himself, didn't he? How many know he's in a real problem? I said he's in a real problem. Here comes the promise. The righteous shall never be moved. And yet we're seeing David move because he's seeing himself. But don't stop there. Look in verse 16 and 17. Here's a principle. And you've got to have the principles to come through that problem, don't you? As for me, you can put your name in it. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Even the neighbors are going to hear you. No silent prayers here, is it? And he shall hear my voice. Now, verse 18, here is the provision. He hath delivered my soul in peace. Notice that phrase. From the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Hallelujah. Well, how many know if God delivers your soul in peace, you've come into some provision. You've come into a rest in God. Can you say amen? So he said, the righteous will not be moved. And yet David wants to be the little bird that flies out of the situation, but all of a sudden he begins to pray and cry aloud. He gets a revelation of himself, and God comes on the scene and delivers his soul, because that's where the problem is. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And as we go there, Jesus said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will. Everybody say, I will. I will give you rest. That's a promise, isn't it? And we know it's by his blood. He paid the debt for you and me. Then he didn't stop there. He said, take my yoke. It was in the prophecy tonight. Take my yoke upon you. That means that's an act of your will and my will. Now, we can't do it in the flesh. If you try to take that yoke of the Lord in the flesh, you'll be like a bear to live with. Can't happen. Now, he said, my yoke is easy. Come on. My burden is light. And in the spirit, it is. But if you do it in the flesh, it's not. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many know we need to get yoked up with Jesus? It'll take you through a problem, though, won't it? So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn. That's the principle. Learn of me. Learn of me. When you're yoked up with me, you're going to learn of me, he says. Then you will find rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Now, look here in Hebrews 4, and I'm not ready to go on that yet. I mean, on Revelation 14, there's some sons of God arising in the earth. God's anointed ones, God's sealing his people, and they know that rest has been truly given. And they are yoked with Jesus. They're out to do his will. Their desire is to do his will and not their will. And they're learning of the Lord. And they're going to come into that provision, because the Bible said they will be sealed in their foreheads. Hallelujah. And so there is a learning process of how to come through the problem. Now, here in Hebrews now, chapter 4, let's see what the scripture says. Verse 1, let us therefore what? Fear. We need that reverential fear, don't we, brethren? Lest a what? Promise. Here's the promise. Let us fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. What does that mean? That means you won't come on into this provision he's got for us. The full rest. The full rest. Hallelujah. Now, before I go any further, turn to Jude just a minute. I'm going to show you something. The book of Jude. And you got to pray with me, because the devil fights me with this message. And I that's not any credit to him. I'm just telling the truth. In Jude, verse 5, the Lord said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people, his people, out of the land of what? Egypt, when it's in the house of bondage, afterward destroyed them that what? Believe not. Where did they not believe him? Right here in the problem. They died in the problem, didn't they? They tested God, tempted God 10 times. Isn't that right? Now, but how many know right in this same area, that's where you're going to see miracles? Their shoes didn't wear out. The clothes didn't wear out. God gave them quail. God gave them manna. He gave them water. The supernatural was in the problem. You want to see the supernatural? You get in the problem with God. Hallelujah. Most of us are kicking and fighting, and that's why we don't see the supernatural. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, In the problem, we got three choices. Number one, how many know we can all take another lap around the same problem? And we've all done it, haven't we? Number two, we can die like they died here in the problem, even though they've got the promise of God in their heart. Or three, we can stand and enter as an overcomer into the promised land or into the provision. Up to us, isn't it? Thank God there was two of them that would not give up. Their name was Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb, it said he had another spirit, which is the spirit of Christ, which is the overcomer spirit. And he wouldn't give up. How many of you ever felt like you wanted to give up in the flesh? But if there's something inside said, no, you're not going to give up. You're going to go on with God. Hallelujah. Which shows us it's not in our flesh, it's in Him. It's in His power, but of course He puts that in our will, of course. Now, so we got three choices there. Now, go back to Hebrews. We don't want to be destroyed in the problem. We don't want to fall in the problem. We want to come through, don't we? Some of you tonight probably are in problems and situations that you don't understand. Just stay right in there with God. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Amen? Now, he said again, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We want to finish the race. We don't want to give up. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, that's God's people in the wilderness, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, how many are believers tonight? Amen. Got a lot of them here. Praise the Lord. We which have believed do enter into rest. How are you going to enter rest? By believing. Amen. Turn it around. If you don't believe, you're going to die in the problem. Or you're going to have to go around and around and around and around. Amen. And he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works are finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, sing therefore, hallelujah, it remains that some, and that's God's remnant that he's raising up. Yes, glory to God. You want to be part of the remnant? God said, there remain that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. And unbelief is a devil. Can you say amen? And we have to all fight against it. Now, again he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Harden not your hearts. Where do we get our hearts hardened? In the wilderness, in the problem, if we allow it. Amen? For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He that's entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. I'll tell you what God's saying tonight to us by the Holy Ghost. It's time to shut down your works and let God arise and do His work through you and I. How many know many of the things that we hear and see in the church is not of the Holy Ghost? But in this end time, God's going to have a people that's going to obey the Lord, the Holy Ghost, and you're going to see the works of Jesus again in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that. Jesus ministered 3.5 years. And these overcomers, these sons of God that He's raising up worldwide, they will do the works of Jesus as He did them. Praise the Lord. But they'll not move. They'll not be motivated by their flesh, but only by the Holy Spirit. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I should have gone to chapter 3 of Hebrews, but just go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at another scripture here together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious. Come on, help me. Precious promises. Are they precious? You better believe it. Comes from Almighty God. Hallelujah. Every promise again in the book is mine. And every promise that comes from God, I want it. How about you? But I not only want it, but I want to know how to come through the problem. Because when I get that promise, then I know what's facing me. And if I can come through that situation, then I'll come on into what God said. You see, many are running for prophecies. I mean, oh, God can find you. He knows your address if he wants to prophesy to you. Now, he may require you to be in certain places, or he can minister to you. I'm not saying that, like here. But there are many run just for prophecies. But what they do not understand is, every time they run for one and get one, they're going to face a problem. Amen? I'll show it to you in a minute. Now, look here in Peter now. He says, there are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you and I might be partakers of the divine nature. Give me a choice between the power of the nature. Give me the nature first. Yeah. But thank God for the power as well. Amen. We need them both, don't we? I mean, God's raised many men up, used them in power, but many have fallen by the way because they didn't have that nature of Christ working in them, or they turned from it or whatever. But we need both, brethren. Now listen to what he says. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now notice, adding to your faith. Thank God. He's given us all the measure of faith. But he said, add to your faith. Virtue. And that word virtue means moral excellence. It means to excel. If we excel as a sinner, how much more as a Christian? If we excel as just being saved, how much more as a spirit-filled Christian? Amen. How much more if we know the kingdom word? We need to excel more. Amen. Now, from virtue to what else? You know, I hear people putting knowledge down. But I'll tell you, I want the knowledge of the Lord. I know it says if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he should know, and I believe that. And I think the more that we do know, the more we realize we don't know very much. But look over just a minute in Matthew 16. Hold your place there. I'm coming back. Turn to Matthew 16. And I want to look at verse 19. The Lord said to Peter, I will give unto thee the key. Thank God. How many know some keys can unlock something? I'll give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. Now, what's the kingdom? It is righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost, first of all. Secondly, it's power. It's not in word, but in power. Third, it's his lordship. Four, it's his government. Five, the kingdom is a person, but because it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So he said, I'm going to give you, Peter, some keys to the kingdom of heaven. It'll unlock the kingdom of heaven. Now, turn to Luke 11. Let's look at one of these keys. Just one of them right here. Luke 11, 52. And Jesus is speaking. And he said, woe unto you lawyers. Now, that's not like lawyers or attorneys downtown. That's those who taught the law. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. So one of the keys to the kingdom is knowledge. And this word that Peter uses there is the same word right here. You have taken away the key of knowledge. He said, you entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. I mean, we better not get in God's way in this hour. Because he's got a big bulldozer that'll move you and me out of the way. And I don't want to get in his way, do you? And I don't want to keep people from coming into the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Now back in Peter, he said, add to your faith virtue, and from virtue to knowledge. That's the same word right there, used in Luke 11, 52. And from knowledge, temperance, that's self-control. God knows we all need that, don't we? And from temperance to patience. Turn to Romans 5. Let's look at this just a minute. Romans 5, I think it's verse 3 or so here. Praise the Lord. It says, yes, in verse 3, and not only so, he said, but we glory in our problems. How many know God's got to do something in you to say that? He didn't say groan and moan, did he? But we've all done it. But we glory in our in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation does something. It's going to work patience in you and I. And then he said also, and patience experience. There's some things you'll not have without tribulation or without experience. Isn't that right? All right, let's go back to Peter now. He said, from patience then to godliness. That's taking God's savor with you. From godliness, brotherly kindness. And then, of course, the ultimate goal is charity. Now, these are principles. These are keys to the kingdom that Peter said, I mean, Jesus told Peter it has. These 7 or 8 or 9 things, he said, I'm going to give you those keys, and here they are right here in Peter. But these are principles God builds into us once the promise comes in order to take us through the problem on into that provision of the kingdom. But how many know that you get these things in the problem? Tribulation works patience, right? That's one of them, isn't it? Hallelujah. So you get those things in the problem. You want more knowledge? You want more patience? You want more virtue? Let him take you into the problems. You'll get it. By the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Now, look at verse 8. He said, if these things be in you, these that we just mentioned, and abound. Now, for them to abound, that means you're going to go through some more things, doesn't it? Don't shout me down now. It's true. Hallelujah. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know more about Jesus? Let him take you into here. But not just stay there. Come on through there. Now, next verse. But he that lacketh these things, these 7 or 8, 9 things, how many there are, is blind. He can't see. He's in the fog of confusion here, isn't he? Got a smoke screen up. He can't see very far. You see, brethren, when you're in the problem, you're in there. There's a temptation there. You're heading right in the enemy's territory. You're face to face with Satan. You can't feel God necessarily. You can't even hear him. And you sure can't see him, can you? Many times. But how many know he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's watching. He's looking on the scene. He's seeing our attitude. He's seeing if our faith is being exercised, if our patience is being exercised or not. But you thrust head on with the enemy. And sometimes, as I said, we do get trouble and we doubt. And we've got to come back and get a hold of this promise. And by faith and patience, go right on back through. Praise the Lord. Now, here, look in this verse now. In verse 9, he that lacketh these things, those that we just mentioned here, is blind and he can't see afar off. Without these things worked in you, in the problem, he said, we're blind and our vision is very dim. Now, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Aren't you glad he forgave us? Aren't you glad your sins are under the blood of Jesus? That you're a redeemed child of the living God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things that he just mentioned, you shall never fall in the problem. Did you hear me? If you're a doer of these 9 things, he said, you'll not fall. You'll not be a victim here and be destroyed here as Israel was. You'll come on in to what God has promised you. And you say amen. Now look at the provision. Look at the next verse. Here is the provision, brethren. Verse 11. For so an entrance. Oh, hallelujah. For so an entrance shall be ministered or given to you abundantly. Hallelujah. You're not going to barely get in. Bless God. Those gates are going to open wide and you're going in by the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, the promise comes. God builds the principles in us to take us through. And he wants us to enter that kingdom because he's put some keys in us. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Oh, I tell you, get a hold of that in the spirit tonight. Turn to 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 18 here in the scripture. Paul is speaking to Timothy. Now, Timothy became an apostle. How many know you don't become an apostle overnight? I would gauge from 20 to 30 years it takes men to become an apostle. How many know you got apostles among apostles? You got prophets among prophets and so forth. And if a man is an apostle, it's Christ the apostle in the man, isn't it? It's God's gift. Now, verse 18. Paul tells Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the what? And notice that word prophecies is more than one, many. How many has received many prophecies? Raise your hand in this building. Amen, all over the place. And I have two, and I'll raise my hand. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, the prophecies, you might war a good warfare. So here comes the promise concerning the ministry of Timothy. And God, of course, was building principles in here by what he told him in the promise. And he said, if you'll listen to those prophecies, Timothy, that was given you over your concerning your ministry and over you, then you will do a great warfare. It'll take you through this problem on into the ministry that I have for you. How many know there are men today, hear me, in America know that God's got them in a higher calling and they're staying back a long ways. The promise has been given them to be apostles and prophets. How many know that if you're going to be an apostle and prophet, you're going to be tested or whatever ministry it may be. And so the promise comes, but brother, the problem comes. And listen, many people have God's call, had God's call upon their life, and that yet they've turned their back on God, and tonight they're on the shelf. But God's hand would be upon them, I believe, if they truly go God's way. Amen? How many know it's dangerous to know God's call and to turn it down, whatever it is? I said it's dangerous. Amen. Now, he said in verse 19, here's the principle, see, holding faith and a good conscience. Notice that. And we need that in the problem, don't we? We got to hold on to the faith that God's building in us. We got to have a good conscience in here. Because I'm going to tell you, there are five things that happens right in here. Right in this problem. Let me tell you what it is. Number one, you can write them down if you want to. Number one, when you're in the problem, you're going to face lust. I don't mean just sexual lust. There's lust for power, for position, for ministry, whatever there may be, for money. First and for sex. Number two, fornication. And fornication means all perverted type acts as well. That's in the problem. Having no Israel had that problem. They rose up to play. Remember, they fell. Remember that? And then the third one is tempting God. Let me tell you what tempting God means. And I'll show it to you. It means to ask God for a sign greater than he desires to give. Now, let me show you this. Thank you, Lord. I got a conversation going on here. Turn to Psalms. Hallelujah. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Praise the Lord. Are you there? All right. Look in verse 17. I'm going to give you those others in just a minute. I didn't give them all to you yet. Those five things. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High where? When they're in the problem. Where do we provoke God? In the wilderness, in the problem. Verse 18. Look at this now. And they tempted God where? In their heart by asking meat that's quail for their lust. And while they asked and they received, I mean, while they were eating the meat, the Bible said destruction came and killed them. They were asking God a greater sign than God desired to give right here, and they tempted God. So there's lust, there's fornication, there's tempting God. That's number three. And idolatry is number four. And number five, it is murmuring. I mean, we've all done our share. Most, I imagine I could probably lead the pack tonight on some of that. Look in Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Paul said, when you work out this salvation with fear and trembling, what God's worked in you, he said, first of all, learn to keep your mouth shut. Do it without murmuring. Hallelujah. The Bible said those that murmur have not learned doctrine over in Isaiah, God's doctrine. Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, and I tell you, I was blessed this morning when I heard Sister Blanche up here prophesying and singing in the Holy Ghost, wasn't you? And everybody join in with her, the Spirit of the Lord coming up on her. And I tell you, ladies, here's your ministry if you'll go for it in the Lord. Hallelujah. She took what? A timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, singing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and went out into the problem of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I want to tell you, you can leave this Holy Ghost meeting and go home and murmur. And I can do the same if I had so desired. God put a seal, put a watch over our mouths that we don't murmur and complain. Can you say amen? God help all of us. Amen. Now, turn with me to Acts. I said a while ago, David got a revelation of himself in the problem, and so will you and I. Now, let me show you this. In Acts 7, oh, there's so much to teach here in this lesson. Acts 7, look at verse 38. It said, this is he that was in the church, where? How many know there's a church in Revelation going to the wilderness? But thank God there's a people coming out of it. One going in, one coming out. And here he said, this church was in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the light. Fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts, in their hearts, turned back again into Egypt. I want to tell you, Lot's wife turned back, didn't she? Look back, brother. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and you turn back, how many know? He said, you're not fit for the kingdom. And so, in their heart, they wanted to go back into Egypt. And not only did they want to do that, they wanted to get another leader. They wanted another captain. We don't like this one. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to vote him out. How many know people getting mad right in here? I don't like that church. I don't like that preacher. I don't like the deacons. I don't even like the people. Go down the road two blocks. Faces change. Church building may be different color. You'll face the same problem. Hallelujah. Until you get over it. When Israel come up to Ai, they were sent in the camp. They come up against the soldiers. How many know they ran and 30-some Israelites got killed? And God said, get rid of the sin. They got rid of the sin. Now God said, go back and take Ai. You can't go on without overcoming that which overcome you. Can you say amen? And so, we don't know our hearts. You know, Jesus gave the bag to Judas, not to Peter. Peter didn't have a problem with money, did he? Did he? Peter would have probably gave it away. He had a problem with his mouth. Like we all do. Judas had the problem with money. He was the son of perdition, not Peter. Yes, Peter denied the Lord. We know that and came back and was restored. Thank God. Because Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you, Peter, as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Well, he's prayed for us too. John 17. Thank God we're going to make it because he prayed for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Jesus prayed for us. But he said, none is lost but the son of perdition. You know when that devil entered Judas? Right at communion. Right at a holy time. Amen? So he didn't give the bag to Peter, he gave it to Judas. He knew Judas's heart, didn't he? Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said, listen to me, the Bible said God left Hezekiah to try him to see what was in his heart. What does that mean? That means God withdraws our consciousness of his presence. When you're in a problem, you can't feel, see, or hear God, but he's there anyway. I mean, there's five ways you're tested. That's one of them. Number two, he's going to leave some enemy in your land to see what you and I are going to do about it. Number three, how many know that furnace of affliction is real? It gets hot, doesn't it? Four, circumstances come and try you. And five, the Word of God tries us. You ever read the gospel, afflictions of the gospel? Hallelujah. How many know the promise comes? The gospel comes. The promise of God's Word comes. And we enter afflictions, don't we? But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of all of them. Can you say amen? All of them. Praise the Lord. Now, let me give you one other. Look here in Acts chapter 20. Praise the Lord. How many know that the cross is real that we must bear? We're not to build crosses for ourselves because we would use probably rubber nails. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is the carpenter? He's got the right cross for the right individual, doesn't he? Amen. Now, in Acts 20, Brother Miller's cross isn't mine, and mine isn't his. But we got to go through whatever he puts in our way. Amen? I'll tell you what your cross is. It's not even your circumstances. The cross is where your will comes in line with God's will, and we lay ours down for his. That's the cross. In Acts 20, look in verse 20. Paul is speaking to the elders, the shepherds of this great church. And this morning when I woke up and I was in the shower, God was speaking to me about shepherds. I thank God for godly shepherds across the nation. But I'm going to tell you something. God's about ready to bring some new faces on the scene. God's going to bring some new faces on the scene with a message burning in their hearts that many have not heard across the land. Hallelujah. And I long to see that. And I will see it by the grace of God. Now here in Acts 20. Verse 20, he says, and now I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and notice from house to house. I mean, we need the meetings like buildings like this right here. But we all also need home meetings too. Scripture. I know there are people fight the meetings like this and they're wrong. Because God's ordained this, hadn't he, brethren? Then there are people fight the home meetings that God's ordained. Now, I know you got to have leaders. You got to have shepherds. You got to have people that bring the word and stir it in the right direction. Now, verse 22. Now, let's get too far off. Now, let's come on down just a little bit. In verse 20. Come on down. Let's go down to verses 27. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So here comes the word of God, promises of God, the principles are being built in God's people. Then we see the problem coming in verse 28. Take heed therefore to yourselves, he's talking to the elders, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you what? Overseers. If God didn't make you one, you'll never be one. To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now notice that. He's warning actually in verse 28. I said that was a problem. Verse 28. He's warning the elders here to feed the church, to feed them the Word of God, give them the promises, bring the principles of God's Word into them, to these elders, these leaders. Then he said in verse 29, now here comes the problem. I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in where? Among you, not sparing the flock. Then he said in verse 30, also of your own selves among the elders, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw or drag, it means disciples, after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn in everyone night and day with tears. Now notice all of that. So here comes the promise, the word of God's coming, the whole council, the principles are being built into the church. He said when I leave the wolves are coming, the problem's coming in the church. But look at verse 32. Here's the provision. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you what? An inheritance among all them that are what? Sanctified, made holy. Praise God. So tonight, brethren, God's is saying to us, I want to give you promises. I want to put my principles in you. I'm going to take you through the problem. Hallelujah. In order to come on in to the provision. And again tonight, there are many here, I know, that have many promises God's given you. And God is not satisfied because many of us are not walking in what God said we can walk in. Hallelujah. And so we need to begin to pray. We need to begin to get a hold of God in the Spirit. And say, oh God, those things you promised me, those things you told me, Lord, by the Spirit. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, with principles built in me. Come on through problems and situations into that provision that I can see the promises fulfilled that you gave to me. Praise the Lord. There are ministers here tonight, our potential ministers here tonight, that if you'll obey God and come through the situation you're in, you'll come out on the other side. Hallelujah. You'll have a glorious ministry in this end time that God has given you. Amen? There are many of you, as you raise your hands tonight, that have prophecies, true prophecies from God, and you know it's from God, that you've got to, again, get a hold of that promise and come on through the situation and see it fulfilled in your life. Praise be unto God. How many know that there's some things we have to do? Isn't that right? There's some things that we have to do. Yes, God will do his part. God will not fail us. The failing is usually on our part. And it's right while we're in the problem. When we're in the fog of confusion, we just can't see very far. We don't know what's happening. And we have to, again, embrace the promise and go at it again. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we need to think about that tonight as we leave even this place tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to open this up just a minute for questions. Who's got a question or a comment real quick? Praise the Lord. Anybody got a question? All right, brother in the back. Okay, that's the promised land. That's what I had. See, it was given in Egypt. And, of course, the provision for Israel was a promised land. Now, let me say this. You've got to have principles to come through the problem. But how many know when God pours out his blessing and you come in that provision, you've also got to exercise principles while you're in that provision. Are you hearing me? How many know God warned his people in Deuteronomy 8 that once they come into the land, they were not to be puffed up and exalted. Otherwise, they were to recognize who had gave them power to get wealth and be blessed. And they were to serve God. We're to love Jesus if we got a pocket full or we don't have a pocket full. Right. Amen? Amen? Whether we're bound or whether we're abased, we're to love Jesus. Amen. But you see, God can't bless a lot of people because it will destroy many of them. But God wants us to get the Word of God so in us and so have the principles of God in us that whether we have a lot or not, we can still love Him just like we, you know, didn't have anything. Hallelujah. All right, somebody else got a question. Brother. All right, brother. Yeah. There you go. Leaning upon the Beloved as you come up out of the problem, out of the wilderness. And as I said a while ago, there's a people coming out now, but there's a people getting ready to go in. All right, somebody else. Praise the Lord. One of the two others here. All right. This is the soul. This is the spirit, this is the soul, and this is where we walk it out in shoe leather in the physical. Problem what? Seal? What are you talking about now? Well, yeah, this is where we're sealed. In the soul, the mind. See, this is the school of the spirit. You see, how many know that a lot of people like to get the promise and come on around here this way? But there's no detours in God. Amen? How many know? You gotta come right on in that holy place, speaking in tongues, prophesying, and whatever, right? But you see, but this is testing ground right here. There's no detours. You gotta go right through the holy place to come on into the Holy of Holies or the provision. Okay, somebody else here hadn't asked the question. Who else? One more. Sister right here. Well, an apostle, I believe if a man is an apostle, I believe, yes, he's a prophet. I believe he's a teacher, a shepherd, and an evangelist. I believe he's all of them. That's the way I teach it, basically. And but we don't see too many of those, you know, like we would see other ministers. But I believe God is raising up real apostles. I believe in the 90s we'll see apostles come forth.
that have the capability by the Holy Spirit, as God directs, to minister and function in all the fivefold ministry. Praise the Lord. Brother Doc. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. 10. Okay. Okay. Yes. Against the servants of God. That's right. How many know that's dangerous to come against those in authority that God's placed over us? All of us. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand. A lot more we could give you, but we'll just stop right there tonight. Praise the Lord. Enjoyed it. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, we thank you for promises you've given us. We thank you for principles you've given us to come through the problem, Lord. We thank you for the problems we've all been through, and yet we'll go through it. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, we just pray that faith of Jesus and the patience of Jesus will just work a work in your people. And God, we also thank you for the provision that, God, we can see the promises fulfilled. Lord, I know there are people tonight in this service that are hurting, that are going through situations. Lord, they don't always understand in the natural, neither do I. But Lord, I lift them up tonight and pray for them. And Father, again, I pray just set a seal over each one of our mouths. Help us to be kind and gentle, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to recognize the situations we are in and to know that in our strength and our flesh, we can't do it. We can't come through. It's only in you. Put your principles in us, Lord. Build your faith and patience and love and all that takes within the people here that we might come on in and truly be a blessed people. Father, forgive us when we fail in our problems. Forgive us when we went around the mountain many times, Lord, over the same situation. Forgive us, Lord, tonight. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. As you told Israel, Lord, that they went around that mountain long enough. And Lord, many of us have went around problems long enough. Help us now, Lord, to begin take a new direction. Oh, God, by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, let us learn our lessons well. We pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's just praise Him a minute. Can we do it? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you, Master. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we hold up other ministers that will be coming this week, Lord. Brother Parrish, Brother Trent, and Brother Jack Harris, and Brother Boland, Lord, and maybe others, but we hold them up, God. We ask your safety as they come. And Father, we pray again in the hearts of your people that, Lord God, they'll cry out mightily unto you. Lord, they'll take hold of the horns of the altar, that they'll not give up, Lord Jesus, that they'll not waver in the situation that many are in tonight. Lord, bring us through. Bring us out on the other side. Lord, bring us into those ministries. Bring us into those gifts. Bring us into that move of the Spirit that you promised us, Lord God. Oh, God, we pray. Bring us through, Lord. And everybody said amen. Amen. Brother Miller, praise the Lord. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.